Radio 1. Radio 1 Podcast. The Scott Mills Daily. Radio 1.
Just because I'm known for technical cock-ups doesn't mean every single one is going to be my fault. Kano and Craig David, this is The Girl on Radio 1. If you've got 45 minutes of work left, we'll try and make you laugh between now and 5 o'clock with some Scott Mills gold. That's our plan for the rest of the week. Any of the best... By the way, if you really do want to laugh, as I am in for Scott all week, wait till I try and do the floor fillers on Friday. Oh, God. Yeah. Dave, the miserable git, I spoke to Dave last night. He told me that he's delaying his journey north on Friday night just to make sure he's in the car for the hour where I try and muddle my way through the floor fillers. Anyhow, up until the floor fillers, it's Scott Mills gold. So any of the best bits from the show, for however long back you want to go, text us 81199 with some suggestions because we're at a loose end on how to fill it. So if you've got any favourite moments that you can think of, we'd like your help. 81199. Debbie on the text wants to know whether I'm going to give it's only Bloody Friday a go on Friday as well. But that could make Friday... some people think it's truly disastrous already this week, but, I mean, it might just be dreadful on Friday if I'm doing this only Bluey Friday and floor fillers. Yeah, thanks for the support. 4:24, this is Radio 1, Scott Mills Gold. Now, we've found a lot of florists in our time, because basically Scott had this theory that florists will write anything on a card. It doesn't matter what you put on a card, the florist will put it on it and send the flowers. And we have found a lot of florists in all sorts of countries across the world, and they've never, ever, ever refused to put any message on a card. For example, remember this one?
Congratulations on your wedding day, brother. Too bad nobody likes your wife. P.S. How could somebody as handsome as you have such an ugly baby! Exclamation mark.
So, you see, they're quite happy to insult people. Insults are no problem at all on cards from florists. However, we wondered whether they would actually commit a crime.
Hello, Lisa's.
Hello, I'd like to order some flowers, please.
Right, okay. When is it for?
For sometime today.
Right, okay. Did you know what you wanted, or...?
No, just something nice.
Right, is it to be delivered, Jeff?
Yes, please.
Right, okay, Tuesday. And where is it to go to?
It's for the manager of bank.
Manager. Right.
Kentish Town Road.
Oh, right. Kentish Town Road. Right, AW5. And what would you like on your card message?
Okay, it's quite long.
Right, go on then.
It's, this is a robbery.
This is a robbery.
Nobody will be hurt.
Nobody will be hurt.
If you follow my instructions.
If you follow my instructions.
Got that?
Yep.
Put £20,000.
Put £20,000.
In unmarked notes.
In unmarked notes.
In an unmarked bag.
In an unmarked bag.
A man wearing a yellow jacket.
A man wearing a yellow jacket.
Will come into the bank.
Will come into the bank.
At 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock.
Give the bag to him.
Give the bag to him.
Do not tell anyone.
Do not tell anyone.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, could you just read that back to me, just so I need to get it exactly right?
This is a robbery. Nobody will be hurt if you follow my instructions. Put £20,000 in unmarked notes in an unmarked bag. A man wearing a yellow jacket will come into the bank at 4 p.m. Give the bag to him. Do not tell anyone. Thanks. Right, is it from anyone or just thanks?
Just leave it anonymous.
Okay, then. And how would you like to pay?
Would it be all right if I pay later? Because I'll have more money then, I could pop in.
Can I just say, God, she was an accomplice. BBC Radio 1
Podcast. Now, we've had some big stars on this show over the years. We've also had Will Young, but we've also had some big stars. Owen Wilson, Mariah Carey, the Little Britain Lads, Cheryl Cole, or was she Cheryl Tweedy at the time? I think she might have been Cheryl Tweedy at the time. And all of them, Laura has tried to befriend in a really embarrassing kind of stalkerish way. And it hasn't succeeded with any of them, has it? No, I don't think so. But probably the biggest of the lot was when Paris Hilton came in. Now, you would imagine that if Paris Hilton was to come into, if you had a radio show and was to come into your radio show, that you would ask her lots of incisive questions, because she has had quite an interesting life, whether it be the film or being in jail or that annoying little dog that she has. There's lots of things that you could talk to Paris Hilton about. But Scott, my little orange friend, being Scott, it tended to be all about him and Laura, this interview coming up. And to make matters even worse, they roped in 10-year-old Lloyd. They got him out of lessons at school, which the school really didn't seem that bothered about. But they got 10-year-old Lloyd out of lessons to help participate in this interview.
Now, I need to introduce you to Laura here, who works on my show.
Yeah.
Now, Laura's getting quite famous these days in the UK. She's getting a little bit hounded now and again, aren't you?
It's very difficult.
So, I mean, have you got any tips for Laura about how to deal with the press? Because it's something that's quite new to Laura and she's finding it a bit hard at the moment.
Just don't pay attention. Live your life.
I mean, you probably think that you and Laura don't look that much alike, do you, really?
She's hot.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God, you just made her actual life. Now, I'd like you to check this out. Can we bring this up now, please? A while ago, we did an experiment to see if Laura could get away with pretending to be you on the streets of London.
That's
yeah, that's what she said. And we got the photos to prove it, so I'd just like to have a look at the photos now and see what you think of that.
Loves it.
I think we also have a clip. I want you to listen to this, okay? This is Laura on the streets of London being Paris.
Nice.
I think when you listen to it, you'll think the accent maybe needs a bit of work. But just go with it and imagine it in your head, all right?
Okay.
Here we go.
Hiya. Just want to say, you've got a lovely top on.
Oh, thanks.
It's really nice. Where did you get that top?
It's in the States, in Target.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Arizona.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you must recognise who I am, right?
No.
No?
Are you Paris?
Yeah. Okay. You really knew that, right?
Well, the dog gave it
the
away.
Dog. He is Tinkerbell, yeah? You're so sweet. Thanks very much. Bye.
You're hot.
She's hot.
She actually believed it was you.
Nice.
Yeah.
You look good with the long blonde hair.
Do you think the voice needs a bit of work, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, should we play another?
Yeah.
Play another one of these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi. Pleased to meet you. My name is Paris Hilton.
Hello.
There are loads of things in here that I think are really hot.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether you might be able to give me some things for free.
Yeah. The thing is not up to us. It's up to the press office. So what you have to do is to ask your PR.
Oh, sorry.
You're going to stores asking for free things.
We tried to get some free stuff, but they weren't having any of it. Now, Laura would quite like to be the new Nicole Richie. Could she be your friend, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
She's hotter than Nicole.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It really, really upsets me about you and Nicole.
Oh.
I used to watch every episode of The Simple Life.
Thank you.
Maybe you two could do another series of it together, maybe.
The UK version.
Lloyd, hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Now, you're having a break from teaching me about football to ask Paris a question, so go for your life.
Do you fancy short ginger people with glasses?
Yeah, they're hot.
Oh, my God, he's going to sell his whole school. Okay. Anything else, Lloyd?
I like your accent, Lloyd.
Thank you.
He's from Oswestry. You don't know where that is, do you?
Mm-mm.
No. It's on the English-Welsh border, I think. Is that right, Lloyd?
Yep, that's right.
Anything else you want to ask Paris?
Who are you supporting now that the USA are out for the World Cup?
Football.
Oh, England, definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that the right answer, Lloyd?
Yeah. Do you think that Wayne Rooney needs some help up front?
No. I don't know what that means.
No, he's fine. Anything else, Lloyd?
Do you still have your dog?
Yeah, Tinkerbell's in America.
She wasn't allowed to bring it into the UK, Lloyd.
Why not?
Because it's just the law, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Right, anything else?
My school's having its 600th birthday celebration next year. Would you like to come? I'm sure the sixth formers would love to see you.
Yeah.
The sixth formers would love that, wouldn't they, Lloyd?
Yeah.
Yeah, put Paris down. She says, yeah, just get back to us with the dates, okay?
Okay.
Wicked. Thanks, Lloyd.
Bye, sweetheart. Bye. So adorable. Lloyd, you're hot.
And you just said that you'd go to his fate or whatever it is, school.
The 100th birthday of the school.
600.
A 600?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And if you're wondering why Lloyd didn't sound at all fazed talking to Paris Hilton, that's because he had no idea whatsoever who on earth she was.
The Scott Mills Daily.
This is Chappers in for Scott. With some Scott Mills Gold, 9 minutes past five. It's Radio 1, Scissor Sisters and Hard Fight. Jack in Kent wants a bit of Derek Acora getting possessed.
But there's this peace and calm of spiritual activity there with...
You all right?
Hold on. Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick. Harry loves Dick. Richard. Don't say all those things about him. Don't.
You all right?
Yeah. Just for a moment, her energy came in and there's annoyance. A nice lady, but I feel as if she's got this great love for Dick.
It doesn't matter how many times you hear it.
Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick.
We did this thing last week as well about how sick are you? Would you laugh? Would you be this sick to laugh at a reporter in Brazil getting electrocuted?
Estas mais de mesa. Aqui do lado, Pederneiras. Aqui, por exemplo, tem...
Voltamos em seguida com o esporte e o comentário do Paulo Roberto Falcão. Até já.
Last bit is just the news anchor not even responding to the report again electrocuted and just saying, and next we'll have the sport.
Aqui, por exemplo, tem...
Yeah, we're all sick enough to laugh at that.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Now, we haven't heard from my little orange friend for a while, so let's hear from him. Now, do you remember the phrase, you ate the food, you drank the wine, do the right thing? If you don't, or if you know the phrase, but you're not 100% sure where it came from, then this is it. This is from about a year or so ago on the show.
Right, listen, this is the best thing I've heard in a very long time, right?
Okay.
Now, this has been sent to me by a friend of mine in America, and apparently it's kind of been doing the rounds, right? It's about this bloke called Darren. Now, Darren did some online dating, and this is what he said about himself in his profile, okay?
Okay.
Cute, tall and funny. That best describes me. I own a management consulting firm assisting financial institutions with regulatory issues. I travel extensively for business and pleasure. So, we're thinking from that he's quite well off, really, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds great to me.
Hmm?
Sounds great to me.
You think he sounds nice?
Yeah.
As soon as she heard man.
So, Darren asks out this girl called Joanne on the dating site, and they go to a place called China Grill in New York. And this is a really, really posh New York restaurant. Okay. Really nice. So, they have their meal, and at the end of the meal, Joanne offers to pay half. Let's go Dutch, yeah?
All right, yeah.
Darren refuses and says, no, it's all right, I'll get this one. So Darren pays the bill at the end of the evening, right?
Very good of him.
Yeah. A gentleman, I think.
A gentleman, that's exactly it.
Now, this is when things start to get a little bit weird. She apparently said that she'd call him and she didn't.
Oh.
I know. It happens, though, don't it? So... Darren must get the idea that Joanne probably didn't like him that much, so he presumes that there won't be another date after that one.
Quite right.
What do you do? What do you do?
I'd just be very angry and very hurt. I'd probably fire off a very stroppy email to her. And I do have my odd stroppy moments.
No.
Yeah, I'd send her a really stroppy email.
What would you do, Laura?
Well, what do you want her to do? Do you want her to ring him up and say, you know, we had a really nice meal, but you know what? I really don't want to go out with you again.
Yes.
You just leave it, don't you?
No, that's manners.
Okay, this is what Darren did, right? Darren emails Joanne asking her to send him $50 for her portion.
Yes!
For her portion of the dinner.
No way.
This is absolutely true, right? This is what he said on his email. Sorry things didn't work out. I guess you changed your mind. Here is my address for the $50. Take care, Darren.
Top man.
He's not bitter, is he?
That's hot. Unbelievable. You don't do that.
She's been rude enough not to get back in touch with them. Good lad.
Well, but it's $50. Then she might have my money back, please.
She might learn in future to be a bit more polite to people and not treat men like dirt.
Well, I think it's strange. Anyway, Joanne thinks he is a bit weird, as I do. So she doesn't really do anything. She just kind of leaves it. So what happens next? Darren calls her and leaves this voicemail.
Hey, Joan, Darren. Look, I was hoping you were going to do the right thing here. You know, disappointed, but I'm hoping you're going to turn around and do the right thing because I don't want to really keep calling you and emailing you and, you know, issuing you a summons, but it's your call for $50. You know, I suggest you do the right thing. You ate the food, you drank the wine, you said you were going to call. You never called. It's been 2.5 weeks, so what do you want me to do? You know, you took advantage as far as I can see, and so, you know, my policy, it's, you know, first date, we go Dutch, you said you wanted to go out a second time, so I picked up the bill. End of story, but you never called me back after 2.5 weeks, so I'm asking for the money, and so I'm hoping you're going to do the right thing. Just get it done, drop it in the mail, and say sayonara, which is what I'm hoping you're going to do. Do the right thing here. Don't take advantage of people. You ate the food, you drank the wine, you didn't call back in 2.5 weeks. Do the right thing. Bye.
I love that. Do the right thing.
I mean, he does go on a bit, doesn't he? And did he mention summons in there as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be a bit, but, you know, he's getting his message across.
He's laying it on thick, isn't he?
You ate the food, you drank the wine.
Do the right thing.
He wants her to do the right thing.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's not what you do, is it? A girl doesn't want to go out with you, so you send her the bill.
He'd paid the dinner. She hasn't got back in touch. She's rude. She ought to pay some of the money.
Right, so Joanne goes to work and finds yet another email saying, Joanne, I wanted to follow up on my email and call to you last night to ensure that you receive my messages for the $50. Please acknowledge by replying to this email that you will be sending me the $50. I hope you understand from my point of view. Thanks, Darren. So then Joanne sends an email back to Darren. Darren, I had every intention of calling you and meeting to go out, but your email has completely turned me off and I find it extremely tacky. I will not be sending you any money since I offered that night to pay and you told me no, that you would take care of it. Please do not call me or send me another email. I would rather not hear from you at all. And for future reference, in the dating world, you may want to rethink the tacky approach about asking someone for money like that. Perhaps that's why you haven't met anyone or have seen them again. Ouch.
Oh.
Exactly.
So, then, it goes on. Darren emails back, cutting and pasting his credit card bill onto the email with the words, "Do the right thing, Joanne." Then, it gets even better. Then, 4 hours later, she gets another answer phone message.
Hey, Joan, this is Darren calling. Just calling to follow up on my email to you. I'm going to, you know, flesh this out and, you know, reach out to your employer and issue the summons. And, you know, I'm going to call you down to court. So it's your call. My next call is going to be down to your employer. And I'm going to be going down to the courthouse very soon, probably within the next few days, and issuing the summons.
End of message.
Right. So he's now going to issue a summons and take her to court for the $50, and he's going to contact her employer. What the hell good is that
going to
do?
I am starting to think he's maybe going slightly over the top at this point, but even so, if only she'd got in touch with him.
Anyway.
This wouldn't be happening.
She sent an email saying, back to him, "You seemed like a nice guy, but after your voicemails, you have now entered the world of a first-class creep. If you choose to go ahead with your threats, then I will be more than happy to notify the proper authorities and get a restraining order. I will also let your clients and employees know about your erratic and bizarre behaviour." Right, so you'd think that would really scare him off, yeah?
Yeah.
Nope.
Joan, this is Darren's calling. Not like what you did. And so I'm not going to be taken advantage of, and so I'm not going to let it go. And so it's your call whether you want to pay up voluntarily or not, but I will be reaching out to your boss. It's your call, and I will be issuing a summons to your job for the money. So you ate the food, you drank the wine, you know, kindly pay your dinner. Bye.
I love that.
You ate the food, you drank the wine, kindly pay your dinner.
Oh, dear.
Right, okay. 28 minutes later, he calls again, and this time, he's called the restaurant.
Hey, sorry for any inconvenience. This is Darren calling. I just got off the phone with the general manager of China Grill. I asked the person to reach out to you directly, and you can just, you know, take it as you wish. If you want to settle the matter directly with China Grill and pay half of your share, it's probably the best way to go. So the person will be calling you up, hopefully, you know, by end of day today. As you said, you offered to pay once, twice, so do it, you know, put some money where your mouth is. Look, I'm looking to settle this nicely, but, you know, do the right thing. Bye.
Do the right thing, Joanne. So now he is trying to settle things nicely.
Look, I'm looking to settle this nicely, but, you know, do the right thing.
So, then... Are you still following this?
Yeah, I'm still there, yeah.
Then she gets this message.
Hi, Joanne, this is Carol Serena, the GM at China Grill. I understand there was a discrepancy with the bill today that we want to split it between you and your friend Darren. If you could call me back at 212-88, I'd greatly appreciate it, and we'll get this all settled and taken care of. Thank you.
So they're as confused as the rest of us are, right? Yeah. So Joanne calls the restaurant and explains, and to be fair, to give them their dues, they tell her not to worry about the bill and offer her a free drink. And that is the last we've heard from Darren.
The Scott Mills Daily.
A few people are still thinking that Scott is dead. He isn't.
That's right? Your fault.
No, it isn't my fault. I'm just joking. He's not dead. management have told us to tell you that he's on holiday, okay? That's the line that's coming down from on high from the officers. Scott is on holiday, and whilst he is on holiday, we're just going to be playing out some of his best bits and remembering him whilst he isn't here. It just so happens that this best bit happens to be when Scott pretended to be dead, and we decided to arrange his funeral for him.
Now, we were talking about funerals last week after I went to one that I didn't think was right because it was kind of a comedy funeral, and we got onto the subject that loads of people have got ideas about what they want at their funeral. We had loads and loads, yeah, of people texting in. I, to be honest, have never thought about this before at all, but it seems that everyone apart from me has kind of at least thought about they want and what they want and, you know, what music they want played and everything, but not me.
But not you. No. So this is where I come in as a true friend. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So I had some ideas for you.
All right. On my behalf.
On your behalf, and I made a few calls.
Funeral home.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if you could help me. I'm calling about my friend Scott.
Your friend who?
My friend Scott. Well, he's actually an ex-friend now. I suppose he's no more, ceased to be, shuffled off his mortal coil, you know.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
He's passed on.
What's Scott's last name?
Mills.
Okay.
And I'm in charge of planning his funeral, and he's... And he's left a number of things he would want at his funeral.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things he wanted was his teeth to be donated to medical science.
His teeth?
His teeth. They were the newest part of his body. They were really, really white, and they're really expensive, so he didn't actually want them to stay in him. He wanted them to go to a good home.
I assume they've been capped because they're new.
Oh, honestly, they were so white. Well, they still are white. They're very, very white. So, yeah. They have been, yeah.
I have the same thing. Mine don't sound as white as his.
Right.
But,
do you want them?
Mine are older. But they're ground to fit his teeth. They wouldn't be of any use to anybody else.
Okay.
And I don't know of anybody that does that.
Okay, I'll put a cross next to that one. Now, is there any way he can be preserved? Like stuffed?
Stuffed?
Yeah.
No. Not to my knowledge. I mean, I...
So he couldn't be stuffed and electrical things fitted so that we could work him?
No.
Because he kind of liked the idea of still being able to be moved and sort of give a speech at his own funeral, yeah, afterwards, yeah, kind of thing. Maybe, you know, sitting up out of the coffin. Sometimes you want funerals to be fun, don't you?
Scott obviously is gone, And I think the survivors have to do what they're most comfortable with.
Well, that's why, because, you know, what are the three letters at the beginning of funeral?
Oh, yeah, they're fun. How old is your friend Scott?
He was born in 1966.
Oh, wow, it's young. What happened to him?
Well, it was tragic. It was a freak sunbed accident. 1 minute he was there, thought he programmed it for 10 minutes. Actually, he'd done it for 100, and he was tanned to death. Very sad. How he would have wanted to go, though, I know that for a fact. Finally, as regards getting somebody to play at his funeral, a song, would that be possible?
Sure.
Okay, do you know Elton John?
Yep.
Do you have Elton John's number?
No.
Because Scott's written a version of Candle in the Wind about himself, so he would just love the fact if I could get Elton John...
I don't happen to have a piano or an organ here, but I mean, I can get, you know, a portable electric piano.
It would mean a lot to him if we could get hold of Elton John.
Don't look to me for help. I have no idea who you'd call or where you'd go.
But that you can do that as part of an arrangement for me?
No. I've never run into it.
Even if I told you some of the lyrics that he'd written, it's quite moving.
I've got family pulling in, so I'm going to have to leave you, but...
It goes, goodbye, treacle. You were the man who made us smile. You helped us on the big drive home, and you made our lives worthwhile. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind. You made it only Blay Friday, weekdays 4 to 7. But your voice will always be here if we subscribe to your podcast. Your candle faded long before your suntan ever will. It needs a bit of work, and I don't sing it very well, so that's why I want Elton to do it. Is he gone?
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Right, let's do the last bit of Scott Mills Gold for today. Zane is here at 7. Let's go back to the time of One Night with Laura. This was a big competition to find Laura a boyfriend. And you ended up with what the one who came fourth?
Yeah.
So, how long ago was that now? Is that nearly 2 years ago?
A year and a half ago.
Wow, doesn't time fly? Anyhow, this was when Scott managed to bust one of the people that applied for One Night with Laura.
Right, let's sort this out. Hi, Carla.
Hiya.
Right, now what's going on?
Right, well, what it is, this win One Night with Laura thing that you've been doing.
Yeah.
I've got a suspicion that my boyfriend's applied to win it.
Right. And you're his girlfriend, obviously.
Yeah, I am, right.
See, I knew this would happen. I keep saying it's only for single people. If you're attached or if you're married or anything, do not apply. It's going to cause a lot of problems.
Well, these are blokes, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but even so. And we will find out. We say that on the online form.
Right.
So why are you suspecting this?
Well, I think him and all his mates have applied for it all.
Right.
Like, for a laugh and what have you, you know, as a sort of competition, see if any of them can win it.
How do you know that?
Just from one of his mates. Well, not directly through his mate, but what I've heard from someone who knows his mate.
Okay. So apparently they've all applied.
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
But if he wanted to go out with another girl, in your opinion, that would be bad?
Yeah, damn right.
Right.
He's my boyfriend, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How long have you been seeing him?
About 6 months.
And you want me to check, yeah?
Yeah, definitely, please.
Right, okay, well, I can go through the database from all the applications that we've got so far.
Right.
It won't take me a second.
Okay, that's brilliant.
What's his name?
Michael Howard.
What, off the Tories?
No, different one.
I would love that if a few politicians turned up for the auditions, though. Imagine that. So, his name is Michael Howard?
Yeah.
Okay, can we check that, Laura?
Yeah.
Right, I tell you what, Carla.
Yeah?
We'll have a check through and we'll see if he's applied, all right?
All right, then, brilliant.
Wait there.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Listen, Carla.
Yep.
We have looked his name up.
Yep.
And I can tell you that he has applied.
You're joking.
He has, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill her. Oh, my God.
What do you think about that?
I'm gutted. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to absolutely kill him.
Don't actually kill him, please, because that would be bad press.
Do you know what I mean?
Where is he now, Carla?
Is at work.
Right. And will he be listening to the radio?
No. Not as far as I know, no, because they don't have it at work.
Now, I know you're kind of laughing it off, but how do you actually feel inside?
Gutted. Absolutely gutted. You know,
okay,
any girl would feel.
Yeah. Now, I know you're a little bit mad at the moment with him.
Yeah.
But tell you what, we could have a bit of fun with this.
Yeah.
And you can do all that later on.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Right, listen, to anyone else, if you know Michael Howard, please do not ring him now and tell him what we're about to do. Right, listen, Carla.
Yep.
We'll give him a call in a few minutes and we'll find out what he's playing at, alright?
Alright.
I'll find out for you, don't worry.
Hello?
Hello, can I speak to Michael, please?
Speaking.
Hi, Michael, it's Scott Mills here from Radio 1.
Hello?
You're right.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, I'm just phoning, because you applied for One Night with Laura, our competition, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Right. I'm only calling you because we're just checking through some of the applicants at the moment.
Okay.
So, you like the sound of Laura, do you?
Oh, yeah. She sounds really nice. Sounds like she's a bit of a laugh.
Yeah. And you'd like to go on a date with her?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think could have a good time.
Okay. And where would you take her?
Probably just for something to eat, some dinner, something like that. Somewhere romantic, maybe. She likes a bit of wine, so I'd probably go out for a bit of wine, something like that.
She loves her wine, yeah. If you did that, you'd be on to a winner, I tell you.
Brilliant. Cheers.
All right. So you might be able to make it to one of our auditions, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Right, if you could just hang on a minute, right? I'm just going to pass you on to my assistant, and she'll get a couple more details off you, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, here she is now.
Thanks.
Hello?
Hello?
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Why? What's up?
What do you mean, what's up?
I don't know.
I've just been listening to you, talking about, taking Laura from Radio 1 out on a date, romantic date.
Oh, I was only joking.
No, you wasn't only joking. I've just heard you. That is so out of order. How would you feel if I did that to you?
Yeah, I was just out the other night and I just thought it'd be a bit of a laugh to apply for it, that's all.
And how do you think I'd feel?
Yeah, I didn't...
I bet you wouldn't even have told me, would you, if I hadn't been listening?
Yeah, but I didn't know
you wouldn't have even told me. You'd just gone out on a date and whatever would have happened. What would have happened? What would you have done? How far would you have gone?
Well, I didn't know that I was going to end up going on a date. I just thought it'd be just a laugh at it.
What if you ended up going out on the date?
Eh?
What if you ended up going out on the date?
See,
you wouldn't have even given a thought to me, would you?
Oh, sorry.
You would have just gone and enjoyed yourself and done whatever and thought that I would have never even found out about it.
I'm sorry, babe.
No, there's no use being sorry now, is it? How would you feel if I did that to you?
Don't know.
You just don't even know what to say, do you?
No.
You're crap. You're an absolute...
Right, see, I told you. How would she not have found out when the winner of One Night with Laura will eventually be all over Radio 1? There we are then. There's a lesson. Do not apply for One Night with Laura if you are not single. Radio 1.
This is a download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Mary loves Dick.
The Scott Mills Daily.